Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we've just come through the most wonderful time of the year, and I'm sure many of you have heard some of the following statements. Merry Christmas. If you were at church, Happy Hanukkah, or really Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. Or if you were in church last Sunday and you heard Pastor Tim's sermon, Happy Good Riddance Day. But today, let's add another one. Happy Epiphany. Epiphany is the church season that immediately follows the 12 days of Christmas. Epiphany was this last Friday, January 6th, and it's that season between Christmas and Lent. The focus of Epiphany is found in the name itself. Epiphany means to make manifest. And it's a focus on Christ being made manifest. And it begins with his being made manifest with the wise men coming. We celebrate Epiphany when we celebrate the coming of the wise men. The wise men who, quote, saw his star in the east. Now, I don't know about you, but if I look up at the sky, I see a lot of stars, and first of all, I won't notice if there's an extra one unless it's super bright. But how in the world could these wise men from the east, which would be Persia, what was, you know, formerly Babylon, you know, modern-day Iran, how would they know that this star up in the sky is his, the Messiah's star? We can look to Scripture and see why. In Numbers chapter 24, verse 7, we read, I see him, but not now. I behold, but not near. A star shall come forth out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel. But who were these wise men that they would know that? And again, to understand, we have to go back in history. We have to remember what took place in the Old Testament. Remember Daniel? King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and it really troubled him. He called all his wise men in and said to them, tell me the dream that I just had that troubled me, and then tell me what it means. And the wise men responded, oh, king, live forever. Tell us the dream. We'll be happy to give you the interpretation. And he would, no, you tell me the dream, and then give me the interpretation. Oh, king, live forever. Tell us. Finally, if you don't tell me the dream, then I know you're all fakes and I'm going to have you all killed. And Daniel went and asked for a day to pray. And the Lord gave him the answer. Here's the dream and here's the interpretation. And when Daniel made manifest to King Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was and what it meant, King Nebuchadnezzar said, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets. And since Daniel is the one who had talked to God and brought this to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar felt it was his responsibility to respond. So we read that he gave Daniel many gifts. We read that he made Daniel ruler over the province of Babylon. And we read that he made him the chief administrator over all the wise men. Those wise men who really weren't too wise. They tried to get out of the interpreting. The wise men who couldn't do it because they believed in only the gods, lowercase g. chief administrator of the wise men. He's supposed to make them wise. For Daniel, what was wise? Well, he obviously had some of the scriptures that we would now call the Old Testament. In Proverbs 1 verse 7 and 9 verse 10, both begin with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1 7 continues, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. No doubt, Daniel began there. He had fear of the Lord. He stood in awe of God because he knew God was the creator and could do anything. And knowledge of the Holy One is insight. He was studying God's word. And he knew it. Which, by the way, is a very strong call for Bible study. But no doubt that's where he began. And he began teaching these wise men. And a little over 600 years later, they still had that wisdom. They still had that insight. They probably still studied the Torah. They had been taught the promise of the coming Messiah. They had heard, "You will know who he is because the star is going to appear out of Jacob." And so they went to follow. And to find this Messiah that over the generations they had been taught about, which, by the way, again, is just such a call for us as parents and grandparents to pass that knowledge, that fear of the Lord on. When they get to Jerusalem, they don't know where he's supposed to be, so they go to the king, who they felt would obviously know, and Herod doesn't know. So he calls the chief priests and the scribes, who immediately were able to tie it to Micah 5 verse 2, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And together, that was enough. We read, they went to Bethlehem, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down. An act of respect, of reverence, of servants. They worshipped him. They gave him worth. You are the promised Messiah. You are the fulfillment of the prophecies. And they gave him gifts of gold. Gold is the metal of kings. It delineates or describes, it indicates royalty. Frankincense is what was mixed into the incense in the temple. And together, that incense with burning would rise up towards God. Frankincense denotes deity. This child is God. And myrrh, used in embalming. And he would die. How exciting. The Christ made manifest through 600 years of teaching, and they were the ones who got to experience it. Epiphany. It's at the very heart of the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them. With baptism comes the Holy Spirit. And the teaching is using God's word, which gives the Holy Spirit something to work with to create faith in the hearts of mankind. We see St. Paul using this when he goes to Athens. Athens, the center of pagan worship. And we read that when he gets there, he's troubled or provoked by all the idols that are around. And so he went to the synagogues and he reasoned with both the Jews and the Gentiles who were in the synagogues. Now, how would he reason with them? He used the scriptures. He went back to the Old Testament and look, a star will rise out of Jacob. The wise men saw the star. They came. They heard that the other prophecy is he's born in Bethlehem. They went, they saw the baby born to a virgin. This Jesus is the Messiah. He fulfills the prophecy. And then told them all about everything that Jesus did, including his resurrection from the dead. He was making Christ manifest. That's what the Great Commission is about. But the experts, the Stoics, the Epicurean philosophers heard this and, this is a new teaching. We haven't heard this before. And he doesn't have a license to teach. So they bring him to the Areopagus, the center of the pagan worship and the center of, shall we say, their higher education. In the book of Acts, St. Luke talks about the people in the Areopagus in this way. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. I guess you could say it was their form of social media. But it was all about what's the newest, the latest thing, the great philosophy of the mind. And the whole concept of the resurrection from the dead seemed absolutely absurd. So how do you make Christ manifest to them? Well, Paul does it by complimenting him. Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. And he was not lying. He could honestly say this. Why? Because he had seen all the idols, all the temple, all the practices, sincere religious practices of these people, so sincere that they had even built a temple to the unknown God. To which St. Paul says, and let me introduce you to him. He's the God of all creation. He's the God who has condemned sin. But he is the God who has provided a way through that sin, through his son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay the price of your sin, who rose from the dead, and in his rising from the dead, that makes him both God and Lord. And there was a pretty significant number of people who heard it. Christ was made manifest, and they believed. This is what Epiphany is all about. Paul made Christ manifest through the Old Testament. Paul made Christ manifest through Christ himself and what Christ said, did, and accomplished. And it's what we are going to do this year during Epiphany. We are going to see over the next 6 Sundays, how the Old Testament makes Christ manifest through the law, through the prophets. And then we're going to be in Lent. We're going to take those Sundays in Lent to look at the gospel and to see how the gospels make manifest to us the road to the cross and to Christ himself, our Lord, our Messiah, our Savior, our God. My hope is you'll join us on this ministry, this journey of manifestation, of Epiphany. In our Savior's name, amen.